know, when you walked in the door today, you should have got an outline, a little flyer. Make sure you have that. Mine's blue. Yours is not blue. This was the first run, and I'm like, I don't like the way that looks. So I used other color, right? So go ahead, and if does anyone need one, raise your hand. We do need some people. Yeah, ushers, you got them? Whoa, okay, that's okay. They weren't quite ready. So while they're getting that for you, I'm going to give you a couple of, I had a couple of our leaders kind of give me some ideas of what they feel is has helped them to remain friends and still stay married. So the Alstons have been married 23 years, and Pastor Kevin and Elsa right here, and we just appreciate their goodness and their love towards the church, towards you, and raised two amazing kids, James and Erica, and they're both in college right now. But you guys have been such an amazing example to all of us. And so anyway, this is what they said. I asked them, the question was, so, you know, if I were to ask you, you know, how have you remained friends? How have you been able to have a strong marriage and still be friends? And Pastor Kevin says, well, do things alone on a regular basis, like date nights. Time together is needed to build strong friendships. So yet, last week we talked about how time, nothing else can take the place of time together. So for our families, for our marriages, for any relationship we're trying to build, time is for sure what we need. And so then Elle says, continue to have fun together. I like that one. Continue to have fun together and enjoy being around each other, because everyday life and responsibilities can be stressful enough. Isn't that the truth? So we got to find times to have fun together, crack up together during the day. Don't wait till you have scheduled time together to have fun. Have fun throughout your day. Have fun being together and making each other laugh, that kind of stuff. And so keep things going well, fun. Okay, well, everybody's got it now? Okay, good. Well, we're going to talk about then how to have a strong marriage and still be friends. And, you know, Ephesians 4:15 is your first verse on your sheet. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So if Jesus is your head, if he's in charge of you, I remember the kids would say, you're not the boss of me, right? Well, Jesus, you're the boss of me. And we each get to decide if he's going to be our boss or not, if he's going to be our head or not. And if he truly is our head, then we should want to do what the head tells us. And so the way to do that then is to just keep growing in him and become more like him, more and more like him every day. And that's going to take a whole lifetime. We're not going to arrive and say, woo, I got it now. I'm really like Jesus. We're going to find out throughout the day, man, I'm still working on this. Just yesterday, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm still working on acting like Christ all the time. Because not always do I, the words that I speak or the actions that I have, do I act like Christ. So I've got a list. And this is just some thoughts that I put together that I thought, you know what, we can decide to be who God says we are. So I want us all to read this out loud, starting with be love. Okay, let's go. Be love. Be patient, be faithful, be thankful, be responsible, be positive, be an encourager, be quick to ask for forgiveness, be quick to forgive, be a good communicator, Be a good listener, be a good communicator, be honest, be respectful, be fun, be like Christ. Okay, so that sounds like, yeah, you know what, if I just did that, I would be a pretty good person. I would have pretty good relationships. And all of us are challenged to be all of these things. And we're not that way 24/7, but we can all strive to be these things because these are the things that God has already said you and I are. So to be a strong family, we have to, number one, believe what God says about us. To truly believe and say, you know, God has said this about me, therefore I'm going to be that. I might not be there right now, but I'm going to just keep working on growing to be that. So really the number one thought today is to be a strong family, we must know who we are. So who am I? I am love, because God says that his love abides in me. I am faithful. I am thankful and appreciative. These are choices I can make. I am responsible. I am positive. I am an encourager. I am quick to ask for forgiveness. I am quick to forgive. I am a good listener. I am a good communicator. I am honest. I am respectful. I am fun. I am like Christ. We can believe these things about ourselves and begin to say these things about ourselves. And as we believe it, as we act on it, as we focus on that, we become more and more like that. So, you know, we want to be, one of the things that I asked the Johnstons here, and they've been married 40 years, just celebrated 40, so we'll be celebrating with you guys soon, but they just had their 40th. So I asked them, and this is what Walt said. He says, patience. Now, I know just from being good friends with them that Walt has had to work on being patient. So when I ask this question, his answer is patience. Why? Because that's been an area he's been challenged in. And he's known I've got to grow in this in order to have a strong marriage, a strong family. So he says, be patient. And he added this, patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Ditto. You know, really, you know what? Who isn't challenged that way? We're all challenged to be patient. We're all challenged to be kind and not become angry when we get stressed out and not become angry and say things we shouldn't have said and, you know, send out words we got to take back. We've all been challenged that way. And so Pastor Annie says, what do we need? Commitment and perseverance. So when you live with a guy that needs a lot of patience, you better be a wife that's committed and that is going to persevere no matter what. Relationships take W-O-R-K, work. And I want to just encourage you, young people, that marriage is an amazing, wonderful union that God has put together. God ordained family. God ordained marriage. And marriage might not be the real popular thing right now. My daughter-in-law, Jen, and I were talking about this, and she says, yeah. Oh, well, first, Jonathan is going to Mount SAC, and he's just getting ready to transfer to UCI, and he was saying, you know, a lot of my friends don't even have, aren't married, and a lot of them aren't even in relationships. It seems like his age group, they've kind of lost hope in marriage. Well, I want to encourage you guys, marriage is an amazing gift from God when you marry the right person and when you have the same values like we've been talking about and when you choose to be these things. When we choose to live like God, our marriages will be better. That doesn't mean we don't have challenges. That doesn't mean we don't have differences. That doesn't mean we don't have stress. That doesn't mean we don't have fights. That doesn't mean we don't have arguments. But it doesn't mean we have to fail. Our marriages can succeed and be successful and be blessed by God, and we can remain friends in spite of it all. We can laugh together later after we fought. We can kiss and make up after we fought. We can, you know, discuss things in a more calm way after we had it all out, you know? And that brings us to our point number two. Our point number two is our marriages will have challenges, but failure does not make it a failure. You know, all of us are gonna, there is no one on earth that is gonna have a perfect relationship. We're all gonna have stuff that goes on. But what I do wanna encourage us all, especially you young people, is that because God is faithful, and God's faithful to us, we can turn around and we can be faithful. And if maybe you've been divorced or maybe you had a failed relationship, you are not a failure. God wants you to get up and believe again. God wants you to get up and trust again. God wants you to get up and say, better next time. God wants you to say, you know what? I can choose to be that person that God desires me to be. And so a lot of times we have a sense of just hopelessness for marriages. And I want us to realize that just because culture has changed, we don't have to change. Because God's culture never changes. He remains the same. The Bible says yesterday, today, and forever, he is always the same. So he is the same today and forever. And so let's look at our Proverbs 3:3. That's your next verse on there. It says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. You see, it's a choice to be loyal. It's a choice to not allow kindness to leave us. It's a choice for us to say, I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I have what the Bible says I have. I am that person. I don't care what I feel like on the inside. I am this person. And when I'm not being these things, I can say, I am this. I can say, I am love. Honey, forgive me for not acting in a lovely way towards you. I ask you to forgive me and then forgive myself. It's so important, guys, to forgive ourselves and to not get down on ourselves because of things that might have happened in our lives. We can all get up and trust again. We can all get up and believe again. We can all be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We are loved. We are valued. We are accepted. We are God's sons and daughters. And he has great plans for each and every one of us. He has only good futures for all of us. And sometimes we mess up. That's okay. We get up and believe again. We get up and see what God sees for us, because God has great things for each one of us. And I don't want you guys to ever give up, because we sure have not given up on any of you. So Proverbs 3:3 again, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Wow, sometimes you do have to tie loyalty around you to stay in a marriage. Sometimes you do have to just say, divorce is not an option. And maybe you were married and the other person in your relationship allowed divorce to happen. God forgives. God washes away as though it never happened. You can start fresh, start new again. However God will lead you, you can expect good things. You can expect big things to come your way. You know, life's not over, and once we get to heaven, we might not really care about those things anyway. But while we're here, God wants it to be good for you. God wants it to be great for you. God wants to fill you, your life, with whatever it would bring, desire for your lives. I also asked the Tarrans, Joseph and Sherry Tarran, they've been with us many years as well. And now we share sons and daughters. Our kids got married. And the Tarrans have been married 28 years. And I asked them the same question, how have you guys stayed, have a strong marriage and still remain friends? I love being around you guys. They're such good friends. I truly see their love and support for each other. And I don't mean to get emotional, but guys, we can do this. And if you're in a marriage right now, then you're believing God. You're trusting God to make things better, to turn things around. I want to encourage you, just be committed, be loyal, be faithful. Don't let the enemy rob from you, and get the help you need, and be willing to admit where you need help, and your spouse admit to get the help that they need, because no one succeeds alone. We all need people around us to help us be strong. We all need people to help us last the long years. So anyway, the Tarrans have been married 28 years, and Joseph sends back, quoting the vows, "For better, for worse, for richer, for poor." All of that's happened to them. All of that's happened to us. "For poor, for sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. I made a vow to my spouse and my best friend because of my love for her." Then Sherry responds, "Remember, when life brings challenges, you are in it together and not against one another. You're on the same team. You are married to your best friend, and friends don't leave each other where one needs the other." You know, you may have been that really good friend, that committed person in your relationship, and the other person broke that. God has someone better for you then. God has somebody that is going to keep that. And you can trust that God will do it for you. You can trust that God will bring a person to you that will be that way. And then if you're in that marriage, you determine that you're that person. That you're that person that your spouse can count on. That your spouse can believe in and trust in. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. You know why I can be faithful? Because God is faithful. You know why I can be patient and kind? Because God is that, and He lives on the inside of me. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says, and He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Yeah. A marriage is a partnership, but the first partnership we've got to take care of is our partnership with our Heavenly Father, and keep that strong, and keep that growing, and keep that alive, and keep adding fire to it. Adding wood to the fire. You know, have you ever been at a bonfire? And the more wood you put in there, the bigger that fire gets. But when you stop putting wood in, what happens? It eventually dies out. So that's what happens to us spiritually. If we don't keep on feeding the flames on the inside of us, feeding our spirit, feeding our hearts with the Word of God, with time with God, we'll start to fizzle out. And when we fizzle out spiritually, it affects us physically. It affects us the way we act, the way we respond. We get irritable. We get touchy. We start to act like we don't want to act like. We start acting like the old man. In fact, let's read these two verses because we got to close up here. But 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way." See, it's God that does that, guys. May the God of peace make you holy in every way and make your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. When you put yourself in his hands, it's God that will help you do this. It's God that makes us who we are. It's God who strengthens us to be the person that God has created us to be. And God's created us to be faithful. God's created us to be loving. God's created us to be honest. God's created us to be all that he is. We can be that, guys. We can be that every day of our life. And when we're not, we just repent and we get up and we ask forgiveness and keep on moving. Because there's not a day that's going to go by that you're not going to mess up, and it's okay. It's okay to mess up. What is not okay is to give up. We are not giver uppers, right? We are fighters. We are winners. And in the end, we win anyway. Because when we stay in God, God always makes sure we win. If you do the right thing, God will make sure you win. Isaac, my Pastor Isaac, my son Michael, there's others of you. You've had failed marriages or what you thought is a failure. No, you learned from that, and God has good things for you. And when you've been the person that fought for that marriage like these guys did, you can expect that God is going to do something better, something greater, something gooder. So God has good things for us. Marriage, you guys, is good. Marriage takes a lot of work. A good marriage takes a lot of work. But I tell you, it's all worth it. I love being with my husband. I remember seeing my parents. My dad's already gone to heaven, but I mean, they just did everything together. And I would think, like, you know, God created us like that. God created us to want to be together for the rest of our lives if we'll just run the race and do it. But too many people just give up. So you're here today. So I want to encourage you, young people, you don't give up. You believe for God to give you the best. And you be that best person that God's created you to be. And you expect God to help you be faithful. You expect God to help you be loyal. You expect God to do good things in you and through you. Last verse, Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10. You know, Colossians 3:10 says, "Put on your new nature." See, you're a new person. You are a new person. And you can be that new person every day. It just takes some focus. It takes some decision making. It takes some perseverance to do that. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Do you want to become like Him? I know you do. That's why you're here. I want to become like Him. And we can become like Him. We can be love. We can be faithful. We can be thankful and appreciative of others. We can be responsible. We can be positive. We can be an encourager. We can be quick to ask for forgiveness. We can be quick to forgive. We can become a good listener. I'm challenged with becoming a good listener because I love to talk. I'd rather talk than listen a lot of times. So I have to work on that. Be a good communicator. My husband says, "I communicate for a living. I cannot figure out why we cannot communicate." That's because we're on different wavelengths sometimes. And the way we process things is a little different. But we got to work on communication. We don't just say, oh, well, I didn't get it, so I'll never talk to you again. No, we work on it. We try again. If we didn't solve it, we say, okay, how important is this to solve? Now I say that. When I was younger, I wanted to solve everything. I wanted a conclusion to everything. I have chilled out. The one thing that's great about marriages that last, we chill out. We start to realize life is way bigger than that situation there. So number three then, the first one is to be a strong family, we must know who we are. Number two, our marriages will have challenges, but failure does not make it a failure. And number three, focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Everybody has limitations. Why? We're flesh. But we all have potential big time because God lives in us. Our potential comes from Him. We are who the Bible says we are. We can have what the Bible says we can have, and we can do what the Bible says we can do. Wow, doesn't that just give you courage? Doesn't that give you faith? Doesn't that just give you the to believe God for more? And then the fourth one is be thankful. We got to be thankful for what we got. And maybe things didn't all work out the way you thought it should, but be thankful for the things that did work out. And then let God do more in you. So let's all stand. We're going to all pray this together. If you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to do that right now because God has an open door for you. His arms are open wide to all of us. If we need to ask God to forgive us and come back to Him, we can do that right now. But we're going to all pray together. We're going to pray this. Say this after me. Heavenly Father, I thank You. You created me and You gave me Your new nature. And I thank You that I am who the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. I am love. I am faithful. I am thankful. I am responsible. I am positive. I'm an encourager. I quickly forgive. And I ask for forgiveness. I'm a good listener. I'm a good communicator. I am honest. I am respectful. I am fun. And I am like You, Christ. And I thank You that You live in me and I live in You and we're in partnership together and I win and I succeed because I live in You. And You live in me, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the Word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 o'clock a.m.